Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Donnie Football in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson this morning. A little bit over halfway through this one. I believe Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss come your way after this. I'm never really sure who is on or off. It's golf season for those guys, so it is always tough to predict. Harry Callis with me behind the glass. Right now, we go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find the great Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Ray, before we get into Steelers chatter, our fan producer hot dog eating contest is this afternoon at 3 p.m. So that includes myself. It includes Harry Callis. It includes City Limits. It also includes a handful of the part-time guys as well. Little intern Dom is in the mix. We have a couple of guys that work some times on the weekends and evenings. Where are you feeling the betting odds go? I feel that Harry is your favorite going into this.
Yeah, I mean, Callis has to be what, minus 500, maybe like even money, right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be an upset if Callis did not win, but hey, maybe you could pull it off, Donnie.
I'm hoping. I mean, I'm gonna get like a nice long workout in after I'm done this morning, and then come back here around 2:30. Hopefully, the appetite is built up. But yeah, I agree with you, Ray. I think that Harry is the man to win this thing this afternoon. Have you ever taken part in any sort of hot dog eating contest?
I have not, but are these odds on like the sports books? Can you like go to Vegas or
we tried, Ray,
to the casinos? Yeah,
that's,
you go.
But there's $500 at stake too, so that's added incentive for me. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Pony has put a $500 prize up for grabs here, so the motivation is certainly there. Ray, I was on the Chip Tamman Football podcast yesterday with one of your PG brethren, Brian Batko. We talked about, we did a draft of Steelers breakout players in 2024. I had the first selection, and I went with Keanu Benton. Why do you think that was a good or bad selection on my part?
No, I think it's good. If you look, Donnie, at the age of that defensive line, I think they have to give more playing time to Keanu Benton in the sub packages. And I understand that they kind of eased him into things as a rookie. They do that with all of their rookies. But if you remember at the end of last season, and I think Mike Tomlin or Terrell Austin repeated it again a few weeks ago, he's got a chance to be a dominant football player. Tomlin and Austin are both on the record saying that. So I'm with you. You know, if you want to look at the defense, you know, we could probably talk a lot more about skill guys being breakout players because that's where the stats are going to be. But I think that's a great pick. I think Keanu Benton only had one sack as a rookie. if he plays in sub packages this year, and you would think, you know, with Cam Hayward being 35 years old, that he would even see a little bit more playing time than he did last year. I think those numbers can go up to 6 or 7, even 8 this year if things break the right way.
I feel like you can't say with confidence that really anybody besides Benton will be on this team in like 2 to 3 years' time. Like, I feel like Ogunjobi will be out the door. Hayward is a question mark either with another team or due to retirement. Loudermilk and Liao, they are two fringe guys to just make the roster at this point year in and year out. Loudermilk more so because he's been around since 2021. Monty Adams is like a nice complimentary player, but he's not a long-term answer. Then you have people like Dean Lowry, Braden Fajoco, who will probably go back and forth from the practice squad. I feel like Benton's the only guy that I'm confident in saying will stick around for a minute.
Yeah, I think unfortunately for the Steelers, Donnie, I know you follow the draft like I do, they're just not coming out at that position like they used to. So when the Steelers do rebuild this line, they might have to do it through free agency, or maybe this coming draft will be better than this past draft. But yeah, for the 2024 season at least, they're going to have to get by with their aging unit there. I will say one thing about Leal. Austin said this a few weeks ago. He is in better shape than he ever has been. So it's a third-round pick. You know, there's talent there, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to to break out just yet. But if he can get it together, that would be huge for this defensive line. It's his third year. It's kind of put up or shut up time. And if there's one guy you want to watch, maybe not be a breakout player, but maybe be a guy who comes in and surprises a little bit, I'll go with Leal.
Ray, when you think of other breakout type guys, somebody else that I brought up talking with Brian, a player that we've been waiting to break out, but also wondering at the same time, are the expectations just too high based on what we saw this guy do at the combine? I mean, you look at a player like Calvin Austin III, and you know he had a couple of highlights last year, and by a couple I mean a couple. He had like two, and he's been somebody that has looked good in practice. He's looked good at out in Latrobe during training camp. He will look good in the preseason, but he really hasn't been much more than another Mr. August type player. Like, what do you think it will take for him to shine through? I mean, there's really there's an opening here at receiver.
Most definitely. And, you know, if you look at Calvin Austin, you know, he's 5'8". You know, he's slight. He's probably only 170, 180 pounds. If he's going to be a guy who contributes more this year, he's going to have to be that catch and run guy. You know, get it to him in short spaces and let him see if he can run after the catch. He is not going to be a guy that you're going to run downfield on intermediate routes and expect him to be a possession receiver. He had that one nice deep catch against the Raiders last year, but, you know, asking a guy who's 5'8 to go up and get 50-50 balls deep, I don't think you're going to have much success doing that. So, you know, he's probably misused a little bit in the Matt Canada offense. Of course, he missed his rookie season because of the injury. So I view him in a little bit different light than Leal, but kind of similar too. You know, year three, you know, give him a little bit of a pass for that rookie season injury. But, you know, if Austin is going to do something with his football team, you would think it would be this year. And hopefully Arthur Smith has a plan for that. I think they could use him. I don't, you know, view him as a number two, Donnie, but I think maybe as a 4 or 5. Yeah, I think he can contribute this year and, you know, put up some better stats than he did last year.
George Pickens was left off the CBS rankings of top 20 wide receivers. I didn't think it was necessarily a complete snubbing. I thought he could have fallen into maybe somewhere between 17 to 20, maybe 18 to 20. What do you think it will take for him to break into that barrier?
Yeah, I mean, Donnie, I say it all the time. He's the Steelers' number one receiver, but I'm not convinced that he's viewed around the league as a number one receiver. So, you know, he had over, what, 1,100 yards last year. It was a good season. But a lot of that came with big plays late in the season. So I just think people on the national level, kind of want to see more consistency. You know, can you be a guy who goes out there every single week and gets 5, 6, 7 catches, you know, close to 100 yards, you know, between 80 and 120 every single week? So that consistency is probably the thing that's holding him back. Again, you know, I hate to keep going back to Matt Canada, but, you know, I think he was probably a little bit of a victim, you know, of Canada's inability to craft good game plans and to call good games. So, you know, hopefully with Arthur Smith, we could see even more out of Pickens. But I'm with you. You know, I wouldn't consider that a snub at all. I think he's a guy who is still developing. And I think, you know, honestly, you know, leadership and maturity, all those things play into your image around the league. And I think that's probably an issue with some people out there as well.
Do you think any or all three of the main tight ends could see a little bit of a breakout in their own right with the new offense?
Yeah, I mean, Freiermuth, obviously. I mean, I think he was somewhat of a breakout player as a rookie, you know, with all the success he had in the red zone. But, I think he's a talented pass catcher. And, you know, Arthur Smith uses his tight ends. Looking at this roster and right now kind of the opening at number two receiver, you could see a guy like Freiermuth get a lot more targets than he did with Canada as the OC. I go back to what happened, you know, Canada's last game, you know, when Mike Sullivan and Eddie Faulkner crafted their first game plan, it was obvious they wanted to get Freiermuth involved, and they did. I don't see why you couldn't do that. You know, not every week he's going to be your number one, but I'm sure 4, 5, 6 times a season, you know, he's going to have matchups that you can take advantage of. And I think Smith is obviously more competent than Matt Canada, so I would expect that to happen this year.
Pro Football Focus ranked the Steelers offensive line 9th best in the National Football League. I feel like the potential is there, but it seems like just that right now, a lot of projection and potential. So where do you come down on that ranking?
Yeah, now I'm assuming, knowing Pro Football Focus and the way they grade Dan Moore, I'm assuming they're projecting Broderick Jones to be the left tackle and Fautanu to be the right tackle.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at Sam Mollo, had a good year. He didn't give up a sack. James Daniels is solid. You know, so other than left tackle and Moore being replaced, the only other question mark would be, does Zach Frazier come in as a rookie and play well, or do the Steelers have to get by for a little bit of the season with Nate Herbig as the center? I suppose, you know, that could maybe pull the Steelers down a little bit. Top 10 offensive line, I'm not too sure about that going into the season, but I would say top 15, and if things go well, if Fautanu is the real deal, if Jones looks a little bit better on the left side, then yeah, I could totally see that happening by the end of the season.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Thanks for taking the time this morning, Ray.
All right, Donnie. Have a good day.
There you go. Our guy, Ray Fittipaldo, one of the best in the business. Harry, you got to be feeling really good after that. He put your odds at minus 500 to win the hot dog eating contest.
Do you know Malzy did a sample with me, too, on Friday?
I did know that. Yes.
He said he was impressed. We're not going to reveal the time. He actually didn't tell me either because he wanted a bunch of surprises to be had. But he said that the sample size was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you hear about those small sample sizes and you get too caught up in it. But
I downed 4 very quickly.
I mean, the last time I did something like this was I did the Andrew Whitworth double stack challenge. It was 8 double stacks in 30 minutes time. I got through 5, almost 6 of them in about 10 to 12 minutes, and then it took me almost the rest of the time to eat the final 2. Now, double stack's bigger than your standard hot dog, so that has me feeling
cheese on it too?
Yeah, it had everything on it.
Okay.
Yeah, everything was on there.
I don't know why nobody's asked me to do any eating stuff, though, yet. I mean, no, you deserve to do eating stuff, but I'm just confused as to why they weren't like, you know what, Callis, might be a good thing for you to try it too.
I'm kind of surprised by that too. 412-928-9370 if you want to join in on the conversation. Give us a call or shoot us a text. The Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I asked Ray Fittipaldo that question there at the end about the Steelers offensive line being ranked in the top 10 from Pro Football Focus. We'll get into that a little bit coming up next. John Wehner joins us in about 20 minutes' time. It's Donnie Football in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 3 to 3 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear wheel drive and 361 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature, options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen. Touchdown! Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey everybody, Chuff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days, starting July 24th, and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
Listen to the Joe Starkey Show every Wednesday. That's today to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie Football in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson this morning. A thank you to Ray Fittipaldo. We will be joined by John Wehner in about 10 minutes' time. Wanted to talk about the Steelers offensive line getting praise from Pro Football Focus. An article put out there at PFF.com from Zoltan Boudé ranking all 32 offensive lines, and the Steelers coming in at number 9. Not just in the AFC, in the entire league. The only teams ahead of them, the Detroit Lions, rightfully number 1, Philadelphia number 2, Indy number 3, Cleveland at 4, the New York Jets at 5, Atlanta is 6, the Chiefs number 7, and the Buffalo Bills at number 8. Who did the Steelers just beat? The Dallas Cowboys and Chicago Bears at 10 and 11. I know it's a projection, and it's, you know, it's a projection-based business sometimes, and especially with Pro Football Focus. That is how it goes. But I think that a lot of it is happening with this unit in general. PFF is also going along with the notion that the Steelers play all of the right guys. As in not playing Dan Moore Jr., who had a 51.8 overall grade last season with a 33.2 pass blocking grade. That is not good. That is actually quite bad. The pass blocking, one of the worst out of any starting offensive lineman in football. So if they continue to have Dan Moore start, this will not be a top 10 unit, especially by their metrics. But I think a call made by anybody around the league would tell you that it is not a top 10 unit. What do we already know about the Steelers' offensive line? Well, all we can say is that they have a really solid guard tandem with Daniels and Seumalo. Broderick Jones played out of position last season at right tackle instead of left. Do I think he can be a good right tackle? Sure, absolutely. But I think he can be a great left tackle. That's the difference. The other two positions should be held by rookies, but we won't know until closer to the season if those guys will have the jobs. The right tackle should be Troy Fautanu. The center should be Zach Frazier. But what if it is Dan Moore and Nate Herbig, or one or the other? Then that ain't a top 10 offensive line. That line will suffer at least one position, I can almost guarantee you. I think it is a unit that has a ton of potential, especially if all three of the young guys work out. I mean, you have three offensive linemen who are in year two or earlier. You have two rookies. You have Fautanu and Jones at tackle. You have Frazier at center. That could take you well into the years of 2030 and beyond. I have big expectations for what both tackles can do. Maybe that's naive of me, but they are both first-round picks. I believe Zach Frazier will be very solid in the middle. And I've already said I like the guard play a whole lot. And they have a great group leader in Isaac Seumalo as well. And it seems like they have also drafted their next guard of the future with Mason McCormick. And this will likely be the final season for James Daniels in black and gold. I, for one, think no matter what, unless he somehow comes back on the very cheap, I think James Daniels will be elsewhere next season. He will do his service in Pittsburgh and then move on. But a top 10 offensive line right now, I don't think so. I think that's a whole lot of projection being made. Top 10 offensive line at season's end, I absolutely think that that group can be there. What did PFF say about it? Well, here's the little write-up by Zoltan. The Steelers spent back-to-back first-round picks on offensive tackles and then selected center Zach Frazier in the second round of this year's draft. Those investments should pay off soon, and the team already got solid play from its guards in 2023. Isaac Seumalo, who Pittsburgh signed as a free agent last year, put together a good 2023 season after some initial struggles and finished the year as the 12th highest graded guard in the NFL. Again, good guard play, Seumalo and Daniels. I think Seumalo is a really good guard. I think Daniels is a really solid one. Promising young players on the bookends, both tackle positions. I think Broderick Jones is a great athlete that could be a great tackle. I think Troy Fautanu, the same thing. And I don't know if Zach Frazier will be a perennial All-Pro, but I think he will be really solid for the next handful of years. Maybe not to the level of greats in Steelers history. You know, maybe not like Mike Webster or Dermoni Dawson or Marquise Pouncey, but I think a lot closer to the level of Jeff Harding's than, let's say, a Sean Mahan or Justin Hartwig or Lord Kendrick Green. 412-928-9370 if you want to join in. Coming up next, John Wehner, former Bucco and Pirates broadcaster. John Wehner joins us in a few minutes. He is brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. That is in a few minutes right here on the Fan First. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. Pirates broadcaster John Wehner joins us next. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football with you this morning. Looks like we are corralling the rock, and I get the thumbs up from Harry Callis. John Wehner, brought to you by Gutter Helmet for a limited time. Enjoy up to 35% off Gutter Helmet. No money down or payments for 1 year. Conditions apply. John Wehner, Pirates broadcaster, the former Bucco himself with us here on 93.7 The Fan. John, I got to start the same way I started with Ray Fittipaldo about a half hour ago. We have the inaugural fan producer hot dog eating contest this afternoon, and Harry Callis, the pretty heavy favorite to win this thing. I don't know if you know all of the fan producers here, but he's got to be the guy to beat, I think, at 3 o'clock.
Well, he sounds like he can throw them down. I'm going to need some photos. I need to see some physique, although what's his name? Chestnut's not a very big guy, and then they have the one girl that's kind of tiny that can throw him down. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you kind of have a name for it, like Donnie Football. You know, it sounds like you could throw him down. By the way, why don't you transition? You can't transition to, like, Donnie Baseball and Hockey?
I guess I could. Now, I mean, hockey I'm not very well versed in. Baseball, though, I feel like I'm stealing from Don Mattingly if I do that.
Yeah, I thought of that. How many can you throw down? You got to throw down like a good 20.
I mean, I'll be happy if I get into like double digits, around a dozen. I mean, I'm trying to think like right now, like once I'm in that spot, how many I could actually do in 10 minutes. Like, I'm not going to do the traditional way that like Chestnut and Kobayashi and those guys do it, where they dip it in the water and everything, and you know, there are just liquids flying everywhere. Maybe if I fall behind, I should go to that method. Have you ever done a hot dog eating contest of some sort?
No, I mean, I can eat. I mean, when I was younger, I could eat, and I'd like to say that I'd be able to throw down at least a dozen, but nowadays, yeah, I'm not that big an eater. I mean, I'll get a big plate of food thinking, oh, this is going to be great, and I don't finish. But, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't do the soggy. I'm not a big fan of bread. I couldn't do the soggy bread.
Yeah, me neither. That's tough for me. Like, anytime I have, like, a sub or a sandwich and the bread gets soggy, it's tough.
Yeah, I like a toasted roll more so than anything soft.
Yeah, I'm fully on your side there. John, game one loss to the Cardinals last night, 7-4. St. Louis, you know, Harry and I were talking about this early in this morning show. They always find a way to just have a good team or a solid team or a team that finds themselves in the playoff picture. I know last season the Pirates finished ahead of them for the first time in about a quarter century, and that very well may be an outlier. It doesn't really matter who's on their team, who's managing the team. They're 44-40. They're in a playoff spot, and yet again they get the best of the Pirates last night.
Yeah, they have a way of finding guys. You know, usually there's a guy that comes up from the minor leagues that you never heard of that ends up, you know, helping them in a big way. Or, you know, they've picked up a couple pitchers, starting pitchers off the scrap heap. And, you know, Lance Lynn and Gibson last night. And, you know, you don't, there's nothing that you'll. love about them, and they've struggled some in their careers, and then they go out there and, you know, they seem to get better when they're with the Cardinals. And the lineup, you look at their lineup, I mean, of course, Goldschmidt and Arenado are, you know, potential Hall of Fame guys, and but they're in the twilight of their career. And then you look at around them, there's not a lot. You know, it's like Donovan and Gorman, and they all seem like they're like kind of the same guys. But they seem to find a way. You know, that Paul Gorman hit last night, I don't understand it. It's a backdoor curveball. Most guys don't even swing at that, let alone hit it 420 feet the other way. I mean, it's something else. But, yeah, they have a pretty good formula over there. They seem to develop well. They seem to be pretty good as far as what they find on the free agent market, and they kind of get into that environment and figure it out. So I don't know if it's the instruction. I don't know if it's scouting, if it's the culture or what it is, but the Cardinals always find a way somehow to put a pretty good team out there.
Yeah, Gorman, another good example. He's hitting under 200, but 17 home runs this season as we approach the All-Star break. Going into this series, we knew that the bullpen was a strength for the Cardinals, and they showed that off last night. Their formula was basically get Gibson through five innings, have the lead, and then let those guys take care of it. They did. Helsley closed it down for his 31st save of the season. This bullpen, almost reminiscent of the Shark Tank from about 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's always important, too, I think, when you have a lead going into the, you know, after the fifth, later innings, to be able to throw up zeros. And, you know, it looked like we had a chance to, you know, maybe make a little comeback there after the Sawinski homer and the McCutchen homer. You're thinking, okay, here we go. And then they bust into that bullpen, and they got guys down there. And I think most winning teams do. They have a bullpen that shortens the game, and they certainly do it. Helsley, I mean, he's not real fly. He throws hard. I every time I see him pitch, it seems like he's all over the place. He gets in the three-ball counts. I mean, he threw Oliveras a 3-1 slider like a foot outside. I mean, who does that with a 3-run lead and gets away with it? But he did. I mean, I know they didn't like it. They thought it was a check swing. But, yeah, it's that's a great formula to win ball games. You get enough starting pitching where you have a lead through five, and then you have enough guys in that bullpen to shut it down. And certainly, you know, not the first year they've done that either. So it's one of those things. They always seem to find those bullpen arms.
Andrew McCutchen with home run number 12 last night. I know it's a good thing for him individually that he's having a nice season here so late into his major league career. 12 home runs. He's among the team leaders. But is it a good thing when you look at the entire team, the entire roster offensively, that Andrew McCutchen is again one of their best offensive forces?
Yeah, that's a great point, because, you know, when we saw the first, you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks of spring training, we're like, you know, and again, spring training always seems to fool you, and we're like talking, oh, we might have 20 homers from every position, and you know, you feel like a dummy now halfway through the season, thinking that there might be maybe three or four guys that are on pace for 20. And so but, you know, Andrew, it's amazing. I mean, you can't teach bat speed, and he's obviously always had elite bat speed, and it's great that he's still able to produce at his age. But you're right. You know, I was thinking Cruz would be closer to 40 this year with a healthy year, and what's he at, 13? He's, you know, you're hoping he gets hot. You penciled Jack Sawinski in for 20, maybe 30-plus, you know, with what he's done his first couple of years. And, you know, for me, he's probably the biggest head-scratcher on the club because of, you know, the inconsistencies and, you know, how bad he started this year. And, you know, hopefully last night will get him going, because you penciled him in for 25-plus for what he's done his first couple of years. You thought that Key Brian Hayes was going to continue driving the ball and hitting the ball at the ballpark like he did the last couple of months last year. You know, that hasn't happened. We need to get him going. Hopefully this gets, you know, Sawinski, for me, with what he did last night, I don't know, the three hits, and he was on the fastball. And that's the thing for me. If he's hitting off the fastball, that was like a one-handed swing he hits into the river. I mean, he has incredible power. to where if he can just make more contact, especially with the fastball, I'd rather him be more aggressive charging the fastball and swing and miss at breaking balls than to be as passive as he is sometimes. You know, he takes a lot of fastballs for strikes, you know, especially with two strikes, it seems. And him turning around a fastball last night and one-handing it 450 feet or whatever the heck it was is what he's capable of. And, you know, we get more of that, and you get more from Cruz. You get Hayes going. Telez has kind of been there. Reynolds has been there. McCutcheon's been there. All of a sudden, you have a pretty good lineup. But so many of these guys have gotten off to such poor starts, especially with the long ball, and we've struggled all year with runners in scoring position. So the only way you combat that is by hitting the ball in the ballpark. And so we won the other day with off a couple of homers. We got back into the game last night with a couple of homers. We need more of these guys being more aggressive up there and hitting the ball in the ballpark.
Pirates broadcaster John Wehner. John, thanks for taking the time this morning.
All right, Donnie, baseball. Good talk.
There he goes, John Wehner. Hey, you know, the one of the things I love about Wehner, and I'm sure that we have multiple guests that do so, he's a religious listener to 93.7 The Fan. Harry, I don't know if you remember around Memorial Day. I think it was Memorial Day. I was hosting in the afternoon, and Dom was producing for me that day. And earlier, like that weekend that had just passed, he was running the Pirates board, and Greg Brown had a very difficult time saying his last name. I think he got something mixed up. Maybe he wrote it down wrong. He was saying T. DeMasso, like just the reversal of his name, not D. DeMasso.
Uh-oh.
And I later found out that John Wehner was listening to that entire segment where we were kind of poking fun at Brownie for struggling to say his name, and he said he was just cackling in his car listening to us. Like, he loved every second of it.
Well, that's great. Thanks, John.
Great dude, John Wehner. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Doug Whaley joins us in 10 minutes or so for the remainder of this Fan Morning Show. Coming up next, the final round of questions with Callis. That is just in front of us here on the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. Another edition, the final edition this morning of questions with Callis. Donnie Football with you on the Fan Morning Show, in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson. Harry Callis behind the glass. Harry, you have impressed me so far this morning. In the history portion of Questions with Callis, you went 4 for 5. In the pop culture portion of Questions with Callis, you went 2.5 out of 5. Now we go to a sports category.
Well, this is really the one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
40 years ago, Harry, the 1984 Summer Olympic Games, this U.S. gymnast took home 5 gold medals.
Not a clue. I don't know.
Mary Lou Retton.
Name sounds familiar. Probably why.
I'm pretty sure she's from Wheeling. I think she's actually somewhat local.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
All right, Harry, we're 0 for 1 on the sports.
Very good.
Not as strong of a start as we were in history or pop culture.
Nope.
The United States men's soccer team lost to who on Monday to end their Copa America run?
This was recent.
Yeah, it was two days ago.
I'm not paying attention to soccer. Come on now. Jeez. Canada.
No, Harry. It was not Canada. Uruguay.
Yeah, Uruguay. I'm going to pull Uruguay. Uruguay.
Yeah. I don't know how the hell to say it. I never know. I never know if it's an or a your. We got Doug Whaley in studio. He'll be joining us in a few minutes until 10.
Want to say it. It's Uruguay. Uruguay, Uruguay, I don't know. Whatever you feel comfortable.
Yeah,
saying.
It's always tough for me because I have the Yinzer accent, so it's.
Well, I think you just put the winner. Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. The winner of the game, and the U.S. was the loser.
All right, Harry, we're 0 for 2.
Yep.
Bronny James was drafted by which team in last week's NBA draft?
The Lakers.
There we go. We're back on the right track. Yeah. I was hoping you'd get that one, Harry. It was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a... Now, I'll do the hot dog one here first, and then I'll get to a baseball one.
Okay.
Joey Chestnut is facing off with an old rival this year in a Netflix special around Labor Day in a hot dog eating contest, a one-on-one battle. Name that rival.
Is he all right back there?
That was a strange grunt.
No, because I know, and they've talked about it, but I don't recognize his name enough to pull it out of my head. Sokotanu something? No.
Well, he's more known for his last name. If you just give me the last name, like, he mostly goes by his last name.
I don't know.
Kobayashi.
Yeah, didn't. That's right.
Harry, we're struggling on the sports.
Where's the baseball question?
Here comes the baseball
question.
Come on
now. Come on.
20 years ago, the 2004 Home Run Derby took place at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Lance Berkman lost in his home ballpark. Who beat him in the final round? I'll give you a clue. It was a former MVP. So it wasn't like a random guy winning.
I mean, former MVP, MVP up to that point or MVP in his career?
I believe he had won the MVP like a year or two prior. Like right around that time.
I don't think Pujols won an MVP by that time.
He was playing in the American League.
Son of a gun. What, Ken Griffey Jr.? He was hurt by then. I don't know. Don't tell me. I'm running out of time. Alex Rodriguez.
Miguel Tejada.
Wow.
The 2004 winner of the Home Run Derby.
Tough.
Harry, just a 1-for-5 effort there on the sports. I was really impressed by the hot start you had in the
Yeah, when
the
you throw
portion.
The Olympics and Uruguay at me in a hot dog eating contest. That's not really your conventional sports now, is it?
I thought the hot dog one you would get. I mean, you're getting revved up for our own hot dog eating contest at 3 o'clock.
I don't care about the national guys as much, though. Joey Chestnut won every year. Everybody knows that.
You better have a better showing at this contest, buddy. That was poor. That was absolutely atrocious.
Gosh.
We got Doug Whaley in studio. We'll take a break, and he will be with us for the duration, the final hour of the Fan Morning Show this morning. First Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Visit Sun Chevy on Washington Road in McMurray or at sunchevy.com. High of 90 today. High of 85 tomorrow. Chance of rain on your Independence Day.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Anime Ham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend. That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Anime Ham, your anime destination.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at PSACard.com. PSA. Our label means more.